Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. The U.S. may be making slow and painstaking progress in getting the COVID-19 pandemic under control, but another public health crisis, gun violence, continues to rage. The latest statistics show that gun deaths from murder and suicide have been soaring in recent years, even as North Carolina legislators continue to try and weaken our already lax gun safety laws. Earlier this week, I caught up with North Carolinians Against Gun Violence Executive Director Becky Sierritas to discuss two aspects of this vexing situation: the ongoing effort by state lawmakers to repeal the state's longstanding and highly successful background safety check requirement for handgun purchases, and their refusal to consider a bill that would allow for judges to issue protective orders when people suspect a friend or loved one is about to commit an act of gun violence.
Well, Becky Sierritas, welcome back to News and Views. It's good to have you back with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
An extraordinary time to be in the business of combating gun violence. Obviously, it remains an enormous issue both in our state and across the country. It seems that scarcely a day goes by where we don't hear another report of another horrific act of gun violence, both here in North Carolina and around the country. It seems that, sadly, the pandemic, and now perhaps we're coming out of it, has not produced any kind of a real lessening in gun violence in the United States.
Yeah, no, it's very, very discouraging. From 2019 to 2020, we saw the largest one-year increase in firearm-related deaths since the 1930s. In fact, in 2020, it was the most violent year in the 21st century. Then we look at our cities in North Carolina. In Charlotte, from 2018 to 2020, their homicide rate doubled. In Greensboro, from 2019 to 2020, their homicide rate went up by 35%. With violence like this, why are we weakening and repealing our gun safety laws?
Yeah, it seems indeed that that is the remarkable tactic that a lot of conservative lawmakers are taking here in North Carolina. We see that our General Assembly continues to push laws to make it easier for people to obtain firearms, even perhaps people who clearly shouldn't have them. One of the great protections that we've had for many years in North Carolina is something called the pistol permit, which was just a simple basic law that required sheriffs to get in the business, required them to sign off when people are making handgun purchases. It's clearly stopped a lot of people who shouldn't have had guns from getting them down through the years, and undoubtedly saved a lot of lives, both from homicides and suicides. And yet our legislature now seems to want to get rid of that law.
Yeah, no, it's incredibly unfortunate because this permitting system is so important, because our federal background check system only applies when you're buying a gun from a federally licensed dealer. That means if you're a domestic abuser, a convicted felon, somebody experiencing a mental health crisis, you can go to a gun show or online and buy a gun, no questions asked. But here in North Carolina, we've closed this gun show loophole with our pistol purchase permitting system. This is so important because if we were to do away with the system, then prohibited purchasers could just walk into a gun show, go online, and buy a gun without a background check. And the pistol purchase permitting system is a comprehensive background check. And we've seen in states without background check requirements, unregulated sales, private sales. When they're unregulated, about 57% of them are done without a background check. This is just simply unacceptable, and it has disastrous consequences. Like in Missouri, when they repealed their permit to purchase system, 3 years later, they saw their gun homicide rate go up by 23% and their suicide rate go up by 16%. With us having the seventh highest number of firearm-related deaths in the nation, with nearly 1,400 people dying in 2019, we cannot afford to be like Missouri. We need to keep our pistol purchase permitting system.
What the proponents of this change say, and the obviously the NRA and the folks who are against laws that would restrict gun violence, they say, well, you know, we've got this national background check. It's instant, computers, and it's all taken care of. What do we need to get sheriffs in the business of doing this for? But as you point out, that system has got a huge loophole in it, right? I mean, there are huge gaps that just literally a person can walk off the street, pull out their cash and say, here, and walk out with a gun, right?
Yes, and that is the way that it is for long guns, you know, assault style rifles already, and other long guns in the state. You can go to a gun show or online and buy a long gun with no questions asked. We simply cannot afford for that to happen with our handguns in our state. You know, we look at Connecticut, 11 years after their permit to purchase law was enacted, they saw their gun homicide rate go down by 28% and their suicide rate go down by 33%. The data is clear. These laws save lives. There's no reason whatsoever when we're experiencing such a high level of violence to repeal a life-saving permitting system such as this.
Yeah, it's a remarkable situation. I'm struck by the fact that, you know, if you and I want to go get a driver's license to drive a car, I've recently, personally, my wife and I have been helping an immigrant to this country who is an experienced driver, but it's literally taken us a year to get him through the bureaucracy to get a driver's license to drive a car so he can go to work, so he doesn't have to ride his moped. He could have just gone and gotten a gun without any problem, though, I presume, if he'd just gone down to the gun show here at the North Carolina fairgrounds, or maybe even just gone online. He can't drive a car, but he could just go buy a gun.
Right.
Literally that stark, the difference?
Yeah. Well, and that's why, you know, with our pistol purchase permitting system, it's a licensing system. And when we talk to people like that, you're exactly right, Rob. We have to get a license to drive a car, which we do know that cars can cause accidents.
Sure.
You know, when we look at the example of car fatalities and firearm fatalities, car fatalities used to be on the rise, but then we invested a lot of research into safety of cars, into driver's licenses, into safety of driving. And we've seen auto fatalities go down. Unfortunately, firearm fatalities have been going up and have surpassed auto fatalities now. And so this is why we need to keep systems. We need to keep a licensing system to make sure that somebody can't just walk into a gun show or online and buy a handgun, no questions asked. We need that license to protect public safety.
We're talking with Becky Sierra-Tas, who's the executive director of North Carolinians Against Gun Violence. I want to talk to the idea of maybe doing something positive in addition to just holding on to the fairly minimal protections that we have on the books. One of the really incredibly creative ideas that's come along, especially in the aftermath of some of these mass shootings that we've seen, particularly one in Orlando, Florida, a few years back, is the idea of trying to create a law that would allow for what are called extreme risk protection orders. The idea being that I'm a family member, I'm very worried that my brother is suicidal or maybe on the verge of committing some sort of horrific shooting. I could go to a judge, if I'm understanding this right, and ask a judge to issue an order saying, don't allow this person to get a gun, right? Is that how basically an extreme risk protection order would work? We have them in place in several states, I know, but not in North Carolina. There's been a proposal to do that. Talk to us about this topic.
Yeah, extreme risk protective orders are incredibly effective. And they do, just as you described, Rob, the bill, it would allow a family member, law enforcement official, or even a healthcare provider to petition a judge to have somebody's guns temporarily removed if they're a threat to themselves or others. And this is important. There's a couple of things that are really important to emphasize here. That one, somebody has to go before a judge. So this is not a disgruntled neighbor or a disgruntled family member just saying, hey, this person doesn't need to have guns. No, you have to present evidence. These systems have been proven to save lives. For every 10 to 20 risk warrants served, one life has been proven to be saved. So this is incredibly important, and it's very effective in preventing suicides, which account for nearly 2/3 of all gun deaths, both in North Carolina and nationally. You know, we forget about that because for good reason, we don't hear about that on the news, but it's really important to remind ourselves that we need to do something. We need to do more to address our gun suicide epidemic.
I believe Representative Marsha Morey has been involved in this effort. She herself is a former chief district court judge in Durham County and has been a proponent of this idea. This legislation is not radical or a new idea. It's been on the books in other states, right? And it's been introduced here for a while, but as thus far, the leadership of the General Assembly really hasn't even allowed a hearing on the bill yet.
Yeah, no, it's incredibly unfortunate. And some people say, well, there's not due process. Well, this is modeled after the domestic violence protective order, which has been upheld in court time and time again that there is enough due process. We're not simply making up this law. It's not coming from far off in left field. It's modeled after laws that work currently in North Carolina. And as you mentioned, this has been enacted throughout the state, most recently in Virginia. You know, they saw that they needed to do something when they've had mass shootings. This has been effective in preventing mass shootings and suicides. So we were incredibly hopeful that they did that. And we, you know, look forward to seeing the results and hope that lawmakers in North Carolina can enact an extreme risk protection order as well.
We're coming to the end of our time, but I do want to double back on the issue of the pistol permit. I know that y'all are serious about keeping this law in the books in North Carolina. The hope is that even if it's passed the House, if it did somehow pass the Senate, that the governor would veto it and that that veto would be sustained. I understand you actually are now taking that campaign into the communities of some of the lawmakers who will have to vote on that if it comes to a gubernatorial veto.
Yeah, so North Carolinians Against Gun Violence Action Fund has put up billboards in Representative Ray's district, which is Halifax and Northampton counties, and Representative Willingham's district, which is Edgecombe and Martin counties. And we focused on those representatives because, unfortunately, they voted in favor of a repeal of our pistol purchase permitting system. So these billboards simply highlight that this is a life-saving permitting system. We need to keep it on the books. So we hope by educating the public, because so many people, you know, rightfully, people are busy. Things aren't always covered in the media, don't know what is happening. But when people learn the facts as to how effective these systems are and really how much, you know, is not a bother for law-abiding citizens, people want to see these systems saved.
Well, Becky, thank you so much for your life-saving advocacy that you do for the people of North Carolina. Hang in there, keep up the great work. And hopefully when we talk later this summer, we'll talk about how this law remains on the books. And maybe even we're getting serious about expanding the gun violence protections we have in North Carolina.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. I really appreciate it.
Coming up next, North Carolina has made some important headway in vaccinating its population against COVID-19, but we'll hear from some people in the know who say we have some big hurdles to overcome and a long way to go before we get back to normal. Don't go away.